the doll is worth everything to me. Yeah. I'd rather live with them in a cardboard box in a frozen terrain than live in the biggest castle on a planet without them. I'll put it that way. Everything's here the way I like it. I do whatever I want. Don't answer nobody. It's almost like being your own God, living your own world. I mean, all the time I got to do anything I don't want to do when I'm at work. I got to answer to my boss then. That's just 40 hours a week. I go out to the store once a month, get my supplies, come back. That's it. Other than that, I'm here, doing what I want, doing my thing. What's going to happen to Ginger and Kelly after I die? Well, I thought about it, and I thought maybe I'll have them buried with me. Because after all, I'm pretty small, and they're not very big. And I think we'd all fit in probably a slightly oversized coffin. Then we could all turn to dust together. That'd be pretty nice.
American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Monday, March 12, 2007. And you are, in fact, listening to Newsreel, the WOG Global Sit Rep on Core Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your headspace and timing. Rand Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening to this program, you are too. You can follow up on all these news stories on Check My Facts by going to my live journal, and you can get to my live journal by going to Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com. This is a free podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, SRN 176 Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, Osprey Radio, Extreme Radio, Tampa, Jeeper One Radio, and Risk Radio, where we're always risky. And hopefully I'll be able to get this show recorded and actually out there because my computer is acting funny. It's acting funny, and I don't know why. I don't know why, you know? Jeez. Sure is annoying having to do all this computer stuff, I'll tell you. But, hey, that's part of the game. If you do not master technology, you can bet that technology will master you. It's true. Unless you can actually get a good grip on technology, you're basically well and truly screwed. And that's something you should probably try to look at in the employment stage, you know, of your life. When you want to get employed, you should probably be looking at what kind of a job can I get that gets me behind a desk versus what kind of a job that I can get that'll get me hurt. You know, because there's all sorts of jobs out there that can get you hurt. They pay good money. A lot of construction jobs pay good money. They get you hurt, though, and they're not good for the long term. So, you know, it's just something to think about. Get a lot of advice, you know, what should I do with my life? Those are the Dear Seans that I get a lot. I get a lot of Dear Seans saying, Sean, I don't know what to do with my life. And really, you know, you should be taking advice for an internet shock jock just to, you know, well, I'd like to think I'm more than an internet shock jock, but you see what I mean. You know, you should probably, there's certain things I can give advice on and there's certain things I cannot give advice on. So I like a little bit more, decision-based questions where you give me your two decisions and then I try to decide for you and I'll give you my logic and all that on the air. But don't ask me open-ended questions like, where do I find love? I don't know. Anyway, beyond that, let's get into some feedback. Dear Sean, I was checking out some of the old Newsreel shows, and you corrected your translation of Lumshavak. And let me start this again, because the guy who wrote this, I don't think English is his first language. I was checking out some of the old Newsreel shows, and you corrected your translation of Lumshavak. You were right. Lumshavak is Czech for hangover or headache. It was termed over here by a fellow aerobatic pilot who developed the maneuver. Okay, here's the link. There's a link there, which I've linked to on my page. And don't underestimate yourself. You're right. That was from Syntax. Well, thank you very much, Syntax. Yes, lumshavak is a real word, apparently, and I went and looked it up, and yeah, there's a definition there. So, for future reference, there are certain things in the world, like computers, for example, that can be deemed as lumshavaks, loosely translated as thing that caused my head pain. Which is true, you know, and it's good to have a word like that. It's a great-sounding word, a lumshavak. Sounds good. You know, it sounds like the new car, the new Buick lumshavak. Well, if it was going to be a lumshavak, it'd probably be a Chrysler. The new Chrysler lumshavak, guaranteed to give you a headache. Which mine did, I'll tell ya. Just a side rant here from the Seanster. I went and I had this, like, 95 Intrepid, Chrysler Intrepid. Jesus, I'll never buy another Chrysler. At, like, you know, just the 12-year mark, that car started, just, you know, you could have set an egg timer to it, man. It would be like tick, 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 boom, and then it just fell apart. It, like, everything on it failed at the same time. Now, we all know that planned obsolescence is a part of culture and part of life, but just telling you, holy crap, I couldn't believe how quickly cars fall apart. I mean, they really, really do. You go back to older cars from, like, the, the 60s, 50s, 70s. In the 70s, they started getting a little bit funny. In the 80s, everything took a shit, but in the 70s, you still had some good cars, and the cars from the 70s are still running strong. They're worth more than they were then. But no. Now we have planned obsolescence, which causes all of our cars, which cost way too much money. Way too much money. You cannot tell me how a car cost you $85,000. Somebody's making money there. Might be more worthwhile to buy yourself an older car, or a car, at least if you're going to buy a car, you may as well get a warranty that's through the roof or something like that. Man, cars are a pain in the ass. You know what they say, eh? If it's got tits or tires, it's bound to be trouble, which is always true. You know, it's a very guy thing to say. Of course, it's not to say it could just be girls with tits. I've seen some men with tits, and it's frightening. It's scary. I think we should start a program saying say no to male tits. You know, it should be like the male tit help forum so we can stop men with breasts. Dear Sean, greetings. Fat Ninja sent me your email address. Uh-oh. And I was the one who saw the tanks coming out of the mothball in the Anniston Army Depot in Alabama. Wow, don't say that five times fast. Yes, the Anniston Army Depot in Alabama is where we were finding out that they're bringing out all these tanks. They're fitting up with retro kits. They're getting ready to invade, and that's where we got some eyes on the ground. And Fat Ninja, I covered it, I think, this last show or the show before. But that's not the point of this email. I'm writing to say thanks. Well, that's nice. I know you probably get a lot of emails and saying thank you, but I felt I had to send mine as long as well. You know, I don't get that many. You know, I do get some, and this isn't a cry for more mail. I'm not saying that, but people seem to think I get millions and millions of emails saying that I'm so awesome. And I don't. I don't. I get a few, you know, and that's fine. It's not like I don't get enough and I feel all bad or anything. It's just that I think it's kind of humbling to me that people are just convinced that I get tons and tons of emails saying how awesome I am. Which, as pleasant as that would be, I don't think is the case. Anyway, they go on to say, my first experience with your work was through, you guessed it, Tales from the After Now. Yes, it haunts me. Fat Ninja sent it to me on a disc, and we spent many hours on the phone debating and talking about the various episodes. He remarked at the rate I listened to that he was worried I would make me depressed. But to me, Tales from the After Now is more about hope against all odds and had a deep impact on me. Well, this is pretty high praise here. You know, when you can have two people connect and talk about your brain for a while, that's pretty cool. I've been trying to fight against the system, such as it is, for many years, and sometimes it feels so hopeless. But listening to Independent Librarian did two things for me. One, it made me realize, as bad as things are, they aren't that bad yet, ? And two, that no matter how bad it gets, you can't let despair take you away, take away your will towards action and hope. Which is true. Which is true. I have faith. I have faith that things are going to work out. Faith is a little bit different than hope. Hope is promise. Faith is kind of like in action. But I think I know what you mean. I have faith that everything's going to come to pass. And I have faith in the WOGs. I have faith that there are a lot of young people out there that even if great swarthing masses of them decide to phone it in and just say, fuck it, I'm not going to bother anymore, there's always another generation coming up who's got the will to fight. It's part of our collective. You know, the cyberpunk culture is, you know, it's a technological rebellion, really, is what it is. It's a rebellious culture with a technological mastery who refuses to be leashed by the machine and by the slavery state of elitism. And it's very important that we don't try to, you know, shoehorn people into what is cyberpunk and what is not cyberpunk. And I think WOG is cyberpunk. I do. I mean, that was my whole basis of the whole thing. But it's cyber culture and cyberpunk and WOG culture and all these other cultures that exist out there. We're all part of the same team, and that's what it's about. It's about unity, and it's about getting together and acting as a family, you know, as a collective, as to make sure that we get good things happening all over the world. Ooh la la. Anyway, you know, not to get too kumbaya on you here, but, you know, that's pretty much what it's about. After I started watching Patrolling, I enjoyed the rants at the end more than anything else, but greatly benefited from the practical information. It's okay, not everyone wants to see me naked on a rock. I'm sure I'm not. I am now slowly acquiring my AWOL bag and other beneficial kit, etc. I've enjoyed your work and learned from most of it, but what I really want you to get out of this email is I believe in your message and what you're trying to do. From watching one episode of your Patrolling video, it hasn't always been easy for you, but the fact that you had heard that you were helping people keeps you going. Beyond entertainment value, beyond pieces of kit, your message about thinking for yourself, being your own person, and your messages of hope have made a big difference in my life. I encourage you not to give up and keep going. I'll be out here looking around for interesting things to report and do what I can to help free, to live free, and help others be free. I will be listening and kicking in when I can to keep the message going. Well, you know, and she signed off here. Thanks again for all that you do. Sincerely, RJ the Renegade Rabbit. P.S. Don't feel pressured to reply. I know you must get thousands of these every day. Thousands! My God, you know, the servers can't hold the bandwidth of all my fan mail. You know, holy crap. Well, you know, that was really nice, Renegade Rabbit. Thank you very, very much. But it just goes to show there's a couple people who, you know, I should be thanking about this. Don't thank me. Don't thank me. I'm doing this regardless. You know, I'm kind of like locked in here. I've got social psychological problems, so I have to do this. But the guy you should be thanking is Fat Ninja. Yes, you should be thanking Fat Ninja because Fat Ninja he's the guy who got you infected with the virus, right? He's the guy who went and said, hey, you should listen to this. I think you're smart. I think you're cool. I think you will know and you will dig and you will get what's going on within these CDs. So Fat Ninja is really what's going on. If you want to help, you have to distribute, just as Fat Ninja did. You see what I mean? Like, you could talk to 20 people, and they'd all be turned onto it too, and then it just keeps on rocking. And that's what it's about. If you can't donate, not a lot of people can, because you know what? Everybody's starving. Nobody's got any money. They're trying to turn everybody into a slave wage state. I understand that. I understand that. Every single dime that I get goes a long way. And when you're getting worried about nickels and dimes, man, you know that there's some heavy pressure going on. So for those people out there who can't donate, especially teenagers, young people, or young couples, stuff like that, guys, you know what? If you can't afford it, don't do it. But if you want to help, you distribute it. You hand it out. You give it to people. You spread the virus. You share the concept and the idea because you can't kill that. I got so much of me online now. Hell, I'll never stop now. I mean, how long does it take you to go through all the stuff? Seriously, how long does it take you? Are you through it all? How long have you been following it? You see what I mean? This is just great. We can turn off the brainwash media, and we can turn on, well, media that's not there to brainwash you. Actually, stuff that stimulates your mind. That's the whole idea. That's the rant media concept. Free slaves. That's the concept here. But thank you very much, Renegade Rabbit, and thank you, Fat Ninja, for doing your part in the WOG Armada. Hey, Sean, long time no talk. This is Mystic. We met back in New York City. Glad you're back on the air. Well, hey, Mystic, what's going on, baby? Good to hear from you. I like this guy. He's a really sharp guy. My question is about home security. I'm a homeowner like you, and my neighborhood is a pretty average place. Small house, few yards from the street. Good for you, brother. Good for you, man. It's hard to get fucking a good, decent-sized domicile these days. Sidewalks. They don't see too much traffic, but unfortunately, my garage door was kicked in yesterday night. Of course, if you're off the beaten path, that's a double-ended street. The garage is right next to my house, but I was asleep. My neighbors didn't see or hear anything either. The police took a report, but of course, there isn't much to go on. They think I was randomly picked. I need to take steps to prevent being a target in the future. For starters, I'm going to start leaving the outside lights on at night. Good start. My house has an alarm, and the former owners installed... which I use both when away and at night, but I'd like to add some additional protection on the outside. For example, I was thinking about getting some devices, and you show some stuff. It's one of which is a wireless motion detector that will set off an alarm in the house. If I'm asleep, it could wake me so I could assess the situation. It doesn't help while away, but there may be limits to what I can do. A lock gate isn't really an option in this area. Any other security eyes you can think of that won't break the bank? Well, the security unit I use, I have a Mark 131 Ranger who, you know, is a biosecurity. I have a small, that's why I like the bully breeds, pit bulls. They're small, they don't eat a hell of a lot, and they're a heck of a good deterrent. And they're semi-sentient, and they're not going to let anybody in your house. But if you can't have a dog, because that's a huge responsibility to have a dog, make sure that you have motion detectors on lights. If you do have lights outside, make sure they're like the most powerful freaking lights you can lay your hands on. I would, you know, if you got, you can get sound sensors, vibrational sensors that set off like audible alarms inside the house. Like people, like thieves do not want attention. That's about it. You know, anyone, if you're anywhere, you don't have a dog or whatever, thieves do not want attention. So if they kick in a door and all of a sudden there's like a spinning light and a siren and voices going, you know, they're not going to stick around. Okay, they're going to want to get out of there because everyone's going to be able to see that, yes, in fact, Buddy is being robbed. This is bad. We do not want that. Okay? So that would be my suggestion. Not really a massive master on the home security front, but there's lots of stuff out there that, you know, you'd be able to look online and come up with some sort of a concept. X10 sends a bunch of system. But having cameras and stuff, I mean, all you're gonna get with cameras is you're going to get pictures of the guy who robbed you. You know, what do you do with that? You know what I mean? You hand it to the cops, and they'll put it in a file, and that'll be the last you ever hear of it. But anyway, dear Sean, fact, advertising is destroying your soul. This fact I have accepted in my life, not because of some misguided need to follow the leader, but because I see the nature of advertising causing people to buy stuff that they don't need. This is the sort yourself out section of the show, I might add. With this understood, I have a deep dislike of advertising and companies in the companies and their ilk, pardon me. Recently, I have been on the market finding a new job. You know, something to do on the weekends. This is dangerous. I used to think it was a really good idea to have a couple of jobs. Now I'm not so sure. About 3 weeks ago, I was accepted for employment by a market research company. Danger. At the time, I was just happy someone was willing to give me a chance. My work history is not that good because I've been screwed over by companies like Walmart. The whole use them and throw them away mentality business seems to have. Yeah, they use and lose. They'll take you and burn you out and throw you out. Home Depot's famous for this. Anyhow, I, for the last 2 weeks, have been debating over if I should continue to work there. What my job entails is I gather people to take surveys on movie trailers that we receive so the movie industry can make better ones tailored to the customer's likes. As I do not have someone in my town that is remotely WOG, I am left with asking your opinion. Do you think I should continue working this company? Am I a hypocrite because I am? Ota Rev. P.S. Thanks for all you do in Rant Media. It's nice to be able to receive what I do coming from WOG stuck among the happy little cogs. And this was from Ota Rev. Okay, well, guys, it's like this. You know, you got to eat, right? Now, a lot of people are like, Sean, you should definitely leave that company. He's doing market research for movies. He's working for the devil, you know, that's directly related to the MPAA. And, all right, hey, oh, my God, I can't believe this guy's working for. How could he possibly claim that he's a WOG because he's working? No. Nobody's going to be more WOG than thou. Okay? My opinion is that you should eat. My opinion is that you should make some money and you should survive. My opinion is you use this job as a stepping stone, so that in the meantime, in between time, as you look for another job, which will be, you know, help you follow your bliss or whatever, you know, particular lifestyle choice you decide to make, you can do that. You don't quit jobs and leave yourself hanging in the lurch. That's just stupid. Okay, that's just dumb. And my sister says, oh, man, I can't believe you do that. That's just horrible. No, it's terrible. You have to prostitute yourself. It's terrible that you have to go out there and you have to do this kind of work. I feel bad. I'm sorry. But you have to work and you have to make money. Otherwise, you wind up being one of those homeless fuckers waving a sign around going, I hate everything. Meanwhile, you know, they can't even bathe. This is the problem with modern protesters, okay? These guys are like, oh, I can't work in our society. It's too unethical. Well, if you don't work in the society, you will not have any money, therefore no power. It's about power. You have to maintain power. You have to be able to maintain at least enough power to look after yourself. You see what I mean? It's all about accountability and responsibility. And all that starts with accountability and responsibility to the self. This brings us to self-discipline and all those other lovely traits which you need in order to survive in day-to-day life. Now, there is such a thing as ethical advertising. I believe in ethical advertising. Everybody has a commercial that they like. Everybody has a commercial that they watch and they go, hey, you know what? That was kind of funny. Like they, and I'll talk about a couple. Why not? What the hell? I mean, you know, there's those milk commercials. I don't know if you've ever seen those milk commercials. It's a pretty generic commercial to talk about. It's a milk commercial, you know? They got the caveman and the dinosaur steps on him. He's scraping the caveman off his foot because it's like he stepped in dog shit or something. I mean, those are funny. They're funny. They're funny little commercials. I think that if a commercial is funny, it doesn't bother me as much. Not if they try to be funny and clever and they're using psychological lighting techniques in order to get you to buy their product. That's bullshit. I'd rather just be funny and be like, hey, you know, that's a funny commercial. And then Buddy shows his other buddy because it's funny, right? I mean, I think you're providing a service. If you make people laugh, you know, if you could sit there and watch commercials and you just be roaring with laughter, it'd be like comedy. You know what I mean? And then, yeah, okay, they're selling something. They have an agenda for why they're doing that. But you get to have a good laugh for no reason. So if you're going to go do that, and you're going to go, if you have to go take surveys and stuff like that, try to make people's days brighter. Try to, you know what I mean? Like, that's, try to elevate the whole thing. Decrease suffering. Do good work. You know, that's the whole idea. And if you can do that, you'll probably prosper, because people want to be around people who are happy. That's something else, you know, just to get off this track for a minute. A lot of people you talk to, everything they say is negative. Now, granted, there's a lot of reasons to be negative, but people seem to enjoy misery. Everybody knows somebody like this. They're not happy unless they're complaining about something. They're like, oh, you know, I don't know, man, everything's going to crap. And they'll sit there with a big smile on their face and tell you that the life is shit and there's no hope for tomorrow. And, oh, my God. And I don't know why they do this. I think it's because that way they get off the hook from, you know, actually improving their own lives and things of that nature. That's the only reason why I can think they do it. But this is, you know, some people, misery loves company. If they're miserable, oh, how are you doing, man? And if you say, I'm great, I'm having a good time, I'm happy with my life, you know, I'm moving up. You know, there's some challenges and stuff, but, you know, and I'm kind of pissed with, you know, this teacher I got. She's kind of a bitch, and, you know, my parents are kind of screwy. But other than that, though, you know, I got good music, got a computer, got good online access, I'm living in the future, they're making robots, everything's pretty much on the plus. Well, you know, those people are like, oh, well, my life's shit. Well, that's a choice. You know, sometimes your life is shit. I'm not saying you should walk around with, you know, the Prozac smile going on. I'm just saying that if you can, you know, change the way you frame things a little bit and start to change your outlook on life, maybe you might be a little bit happier. You see my point? But getting back to the ethical advertising, there's people out there who are pissed at everything, and if you're a nightmare to be around and you bring everybody bummed out all the time, no one's going to want to hang out with you. Trust me on this one. I know of which I speak. But enough of this gaiety. Let's get on to the news. As you can tell, I've still kind of, I've almost got my cold beaten. You know, I've almost got that laid down. I'm a little bit fuzzy-headed today. I was going to record the show yesterday. This is before we get into the news. I was going to record the show yesterday. But for some reason, you know, like the weekend was there and a lot of stuff is going on right now. Unfortunately, I suppose I should probably let people know this. I'll let them know on the show. Some people were aware that I was involved with the reserves, which is kind of like the National Guard up here in Canada. Only instead of in the States, they have the National Guard up here. It's called the reserves. Also, it used to be called the militia. But I'm currently in the process of getting out of the Army. Joined almost a year ago exactly. And it's too much. You got to have priorities. And in my world, my priority is my wife. I mean, that's the gig. That's what I'm about. Ever since I went away this summer for a couple of months, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to go and do all this stuff. And I'm going to be new super ninja crazy cool. And I got away from my wife for 2 months. And I was like, well, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to get back to my wife and hang out with her. And if anybody tries to get in my way, I'm going to make a hat out of the rib cage. Yeah, that's pretty much my life. So, yeah, right about now, the dark one has got me by the short and curlies. Yeah, I'm pretty much enslaved, you know, which is good. And I'm so enslaved that I'm happy about it. Isn't that sick and weird? You know, it's good. Love is good. Marriage is good. I like that stuff. And it's one of the few positives. So, unfortunately, being in a marriage and being in the Army, those two can work. Can work. It's pretty hard. Pretty hard. So I believe one of the things I do believe in, kind of scattered, kind of coming at you in a pretty fragmented newsreel, but hey, that's what the show's all about. One of the things I do believe in is the pursuit of happiness, which kind of ties into everything else we're talking about here. But I believe in the pursuit of happiness. I think people should be able to pursue happiness. This is why me and Americans get along so well, because, you know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. If you want to pursue being happy, provided you're not hurting anybody, what's the problem? Now, this brings us back to the three-gun guy, two-real doll guy. Now, this was a video clip I ran on the show where the guy was living in his room with a couple of rubber dolls, had some rifles on the floor, and basically, you know, when he wasn't at work, he was at home on his computer. That was his lifestyle. Now, that is not a lifestyle that I would encourage because I don't know how healthy it is. You know what I mean? I would think that, wow, that would not be preferable, but this is all my opinion, right? Thinking about it, a guy posted on my live journal about it, and he was like, well, you know what? The guy's not hurting anybody. Why don't you just fucking leave him alone? Which is true. Guy's not hurting anybody. You know, so where do you call with that? And then, you know, there's some pretty good comments on my live journal. You should go check it out. Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com. And people are talking back and forth and discussing this notion. And I would never deny anyone, you know, the ability to buy a couple of large rubber toys to have sex with and some guns and then just hang out in your room for a while. But I don't think you are going to live long term with happy, healthy mental conditioning if you were to do that for 10 or 15 years. I think you'd get kind of weird. You'd wind up being like that dude in Waterworld talking to the face he drew on the mast of a ship. You know, you got to be careful with that kind of stuff. The brain is a surprisingly sensitive thing. It's not nearly as tough as you think it is. And I know all of you out there who are, you know, in your teens, early 20s and stuff like that, you're like, what are you talking about, John? No. Hear me out here, man. Do some research. The brain is very easily damaged, especially on a cognizant level, okay? If you put yourself in a scenario or a situation, you know, nobody really handles anything. People who go to war, for example, they come back, they're fucked up. They're not fucked up because they're weak. They're not fucked up because, you know, oh, well, they couldn't hack it. You know, they didn't have the psychological armor and, you know, and all that kind of crap. They're not fucked up because of that. It's because war fucks you up. It's an extreme circumstance. It's something that when you see other people dying and people are trying to kill you, your body biologically tries to get you out of that situation. And it does a lot of damage to you psychologically. And we're still dealing with generations who've been damaged from Vietnam. We're still dealing with now, you know, just as I've been crying on and on, as these desert wars continue, we're going to be getting more and more and more fucked up guys coming back. You know, and I get email from these guys, too. And you know what? God love you. You know, you went over there. You did your duty. You don't have to go over there again, hopefully, because it's dangerous. I mean, the war is a very, very difficult topic. We've now been involved in Iraq longer than we were involved in the Second World War. There's no end in sight. Everything is shit. A lot of young kids are getting hurt. And we got a couple of psychopaths trying to run the show. So that's a problem. I don't know what the solution is, but there's a problem there, and that needs to be rectified so we stop killing the fucking kids. But enough of this tirade. Let's get back to the news. And speaking, this kind of ties in to the brain thing. In mind control news. Now, this was sent in by Agent Subversion and a few others. I always I try to give credit to the first guy who hands it to me, you know, because I'll get like 5-10 stories in the first guy. But anyway, mind control in Beijing. Now, listen to this one now. Scientists in eastern China say they have succeeded in controlling the flight of pigeons with microelectrodes planted in their brains. Oh, that's nice. State media reported on Tuesday, because it's China, so, you know, everything's state media. Scientists at the Robot Engineering Technological Research Center in Shandong University of Science and Technology said their electrodes could command them to fly right or left, or up or down, Xinhua News Agency said. The implants stimulated different areas of the pigeon brain, according to the signal sent by the scientists via computer, and forced the bird to comply with their commands. And during flight, okay, so being in the air is kind of tricky, you would think, especially if you're a pigeon. So, you know, I mean, I don't really like pigeons. You know, they shit all over your statues and everything. Not that I would, you know, ever wish ill on them, nor would I want them to have, you know, brain implants, but, you know, this is what they're doing. Goes on to say, it's the first such successful experiment on a pigeon in the world, Xinhua quoted on the central chief scientist, Sung Zhuzhang. Okay, whatever. The Xinhua newspaper quoted San Zhuzhang. You know, geez, I know I'm English, okay? I speak English. All right, and there's certain languages that I have real trouble with. Arabic is one of them, okay? Chinese is another one. Dude, I'm not calling down your culture or anything else like that, but man, the language is just hard. How the hell do you say Su Zuk Shang? I mean, that's just difficult for me. I mean, I've got to do more training or something because, wow, I'm having a hard time with Chinese names. Su and his colleagues, who Xinhua said they have similar success with mice in 2005. So anyway, they put brain electrodes in mice, and now they're putting in pigeons. We're improving the devices used in the experiment and hope the technology could be put into practical use in the future. And that's very telling because it's run from state media, okay? So the line is, first they do it to mice, now they do it to the pigeons, and they were improving the devices used in the experiments and hoped that the technology could be put to practical use in the future. Now, the final sentence, this is why it's on Newsreel. Okay, so they remote control some pigeons in China. Okay, yeah, but China isn't limited to what they could do research on, are they? They can research anything they want, can't they? I mean, China can do whatever the hell they want with their money. They're not related by any kind of human rights laws. Everybody knows they sell the organs of their criminals. I mean, these guys are pretty much, you know, they're off the chain. They can research anything they want. And now, that first they do it with mice, now they're doing it with pigeons. And the last line of the news story is, the report did not specify what practical uses the scientists saw for remote-controlled pigeons. but they want to put them to practical use. But they don't see what practical uses of the remote control pigeons. Well, obviously, this isn't about pigeons. This is about putting implants in people to control them. And suddenly, the whole story takes on a slightly more sinister tone, wouldn't you think? Now, this isn't something that they're talking about. This is something they're actively pursuing. This is not some white paper floating around somewhere where somebody wants to do funding on this. The Chinese have already controlled two different life forms, probably more, that they're talking about. What's next? Let me tell you what's next. Monkeys. Monkeys are next. They're going to be putting the electrodes in the apes. And after they do the apes, what's after that? Well, it's only a few short chromosomes away from putting them in people. Criminals. People they can already do human experimentation on. And they already do human experimentation on prisoners in China. So what are they going to create? Very, very concerning. This is something that people should be looking after. Now, in Desert War news, this is something that, I try to stay away from the war as best I can. Because there's a lot of news that's saturating the media, and I'm sure you're sick of it. Not that, and that's a horrible thing to say, you know, because people are like, whoa, what do you mean sick of the war, Sean? There's people dying over there, man. There's kids dying for freedom, or they think they're dying for freedom, and there's people, you know, there's young people who are dying just to, you know, protect Halliburton's profits and for oil and all the rest of it. But there's certain things they get because there's so many of these stories coming out that you miss the major important stories about the war. This is one of them. Pakistan, the Pakistani government, I don't like saying Pakistan because Pakistan is just a name we gave to a section of dirt with some red lines on it on a map. But anyway, Pakistan has now made a deal with the Taliban. Now, the Taliban are the scum of the earth, okay? They're right up there with pedophiles, as far as I'm concerned, probably a little bit further. As a matter of fact, it could be argued that, you know, they condone that sort of behavior. But anyway, according to the media I've read, I mean, who knows, right? But anyway, they used to love the Taliban. You know, the Mujahideen horsemen were buddies of Rambo in the last movie, you know what I mean? So you got to watch what your data inflow says. But anyway, Pakistan apparently has, the Pakistani government has said the Taliban's okay. Blow up Buddhist statues? All right. This is the dumb part, is they've actually come forward and said, yeah, we like the Taliban. Before, when Canada was over there, they're like, no, we hate the Taliban, they're terrible. But apparently now in Karachi, the Pakistani establishment has made a deal with the Taliban through leading Taliban commander that will extend Islamabad's influence into southwestern Afghanistan and significantly strengthen the resistance in its push to capture Kabul. The one-legged Mullah Dadullah, will be Pakistan's strongman in a corridor running from the Afghan province of Zabul, Urzdan, Kandahar, and Helmand across the border to Pakistan's Balo Christian province, according with both Taliban and Al-Qaeda contracts Asia Times Online spoke to. Using Pakistani territory with Islamabad support, the Taliban will be able to safely move men, weapons, and supplies into southwestern Afghanistan. Now, why? You know, it goes on to talk about why, you know, they would be making deals with, the Taliban and all that. And you think to yourself, why would they do that? Why would they do that? This war over there is all about control. It's all about control. If we control the oil in Saudi Arabia, we control the oil to Europe. And if we control the oil to Europe, we control Europe. If we control the oil that flows through Afghanistan, we control the oil that flows to China. You see? So all this is not really about racism or it's about power. It's not about God. It's about power. It's about the ability to control things. So what we need to do is we need to find a way to stop using oil. But apparently, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if you're going to hear some bombing runs, some people declaring war on Pakistan and Pakistan being vilified. I prophesy within the next few months, because this is why. And we'll see if my little prediction here can ring true. We'll see if I'm on time and on target with that. In booster news, thanks to Desert Runner. Thank you very much, Desert Runner, for this story. As a species, now this is an interesting story. It's kind of a little bit op-ed, but it's kind of something that I'm a little bit concerned about. Because boosters, as we know, is we're only as good as our drugs and technology make us, so we say. And the article goes on to say here, as a species, we've hit the bedtime barrier. You can eat at your desk, socialize in the breakwood, and answer text messages on a date. But sooner or later, you're going to have to sleep, which is kind of upsetting because, you know what? People should not be working that much. This is why I was saying, I don't know about getting two or three jobs. Maybe you should just have one job and have some downtime so you can have some balance in your life to prevent what? Cyberpsychosis and the black shakes, where you get so overwhelmed, you just simply shut down because your body will do that. After 18, 19 hours awake, your brain's function starts to fail, says Dallas, Texas sleep medicine specialist Andrew Jameson. Coffee might keep you up, but you're not going to be focused. And there'll be those young people out there who play gaming for like 30 hours at a stretch who would argue with you. Coffee? You might as well be commuting by buggy. Old school stimulants like caffeine, amphetamines, and the drug Ritalin are about to be marginalized by Eugerox. Okay, hang on. How do you spell this here? Eugerox. 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 Okay, this is a new type of drug they're coming called Eugerox. This emerging breed of wakefulness pills promises to keep workers from tomorrow not just awake, but alert and on task, feeling thrive throughout the night, as well as into the next day. Remember these names, because they're in your future. Modafinil, right? Which is, I know a lot about modafinil. And it's dangerous. Dangerous stuff. I am really leery now of some of the drugs that they're trying to like push out there as, hey, this keeps you awake and you'd be more productive. Modafinil, approved by the Food and Drug Administration in 1980 for treatment of narcolepsy and marketed in the U.S. as Provigil. Yes, it was also used by the SAS in the Balkans War, okay, as a stay-awake drug. It was already given as a competitive edge to everyone from Air Force pilots on 40-hour missions, less legally, college students cramming for exams. The drug's maker, Cephalon in Fraser, Pennsylvania, is awaiting FDA approval for Armodafinil, which promises even longer of series of wakefulness on a single dose. So you take a pill, don't sleep for 2 days. I didn't hear about that, Armodafinil. And Irvine, California-based Cortex is working on its own drug. This is a new drug that's coming out called CX-717. Kind of rolls off the tongue there, great name for it. And developed with funding from the military. Danger, 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 danger. The drugs are targeted at sleep disorders, because there's lots of sleep disorders in the Army, like narcolepsy. But their dramatic potential influence on the workplace that has researchers and efficiency experts buzzing. Yeah, the floor whips running around. They would like to have little pills that they can hand out. It's just like Jell-O said originally. Take only the drugs prescribed by your boss or supervisor. Scientists understand how the drugs work only broadly. Unlike traditional stimulants, Eugerox, that's just a terrible word, don't simply jazz up the whole body. Instead, they tweak specific sleep-related mechanisms in the brain so users don't feel jittery or wired, just alert. And in an experiment with CX-717, sleep-deprived rhesus monkeys on the drug often outperformed their own well-rested but under-drugged best efforts on mental performance tests. Modafinil 2 is definitely a cognitive enhancer, says cognitive psychopharmacologist, there's a title, Barbara Chacane at the University of Cambridge. In her own studies, alert human volunteers, the drug improved planning, concentration, and impulse control skills, even boosted some forms of memory. Wow, this stuff is the best stuff ever! It fucks with your brain! Let's give it to kids! Here's the rub. This is the rub of the whole thing. The drugs don't replace sleep, and decades of research show that sleep deprivation prompts immune dysfunction, depression, and other disorders. Yes, it can kill you. Yes, you can die from sleep deprivation. Okay? And things can happen to you that make you wish you were dead. Death is not the worst thing. Being imprisoned in your body with a retarded brain, that is more dangerous. I'm very afraid of performance-enhancing drugs that people are excited about to improve efficiency. This is not good. Sleep isn't something we should be looking to phase out of our lives because they don't really know what sleep does. Nobody knows what sleep really does. They haven't really mapped out all the things that sleep does. So you want to be really careful with the whole like, hey, we're going to get rid of sleep. Why sleep? We'll sleep when we're dead. Yeah, and you'll get dead pretty fast if, again, you don't sleep. Yet the economic pressure to stay out of bed is intense. Cutting out 4 hours of sleep at night would free almost 15,000 extra hours per year. You know, when people give stats like that, it's like this new thing where they're rolling the time back, so we're getting an extra month out of the year. No, you're not. That's insane. That's like Amway math, okay? We're not controlled by a clock. We're controlled by the Earth's rotation around the sun. Because you add and subtract an hour, that's not giving you more daylight. Don't be idiotic. It's stupid. It's cyclic. You know, I don't understand this at all. People are falling for it. It's like a testament to the stupidity of the masses. But anyway, cutting out 4 hours of sleep a night would free almost 15,000 extra hours per year. Wow. That's an additional 9 months worth of standard 40-hour work weeks. Plenty of time to earn a promotion or start your own company on the side. Worst case, slog away in obscurity. Which would be me, you know, because then I could do more stuff. If I could destroy my brain in the process, hell yeah. I'll use my mind as kindling for the fire of tomorrow. No. From Napoleon to Edison to Churchill, many of history's most notable figures got by on only a few hours of sleep a night, because most of the notable figures in history were kind of crazy. Napoleon, Edison, and Churchill could be argued were all batshit bonkers, and they had conditions where they didn't have to take drugs to stay awake. They stayed awake because their brain was doing that on their own. Give an entire workforce of energy of Thomas Edison, and you've got a new industrial revolution! Yes, and you've got victims of that industrial revolution as well. Which is not so good. It's not so good. I'm not a big fan of having people get hurt because, you know, they were for profit. You know, kind of goes back to that whole war thing. But anyway. In Decker News, sent to me by Delta Drill Sergeant. Thank you very much, Delta Drill Sergeant. Show organizers of the Black Hat Federal Security Conference have agreed to cancel a demonstration that would show attendees how to build RFID cloners. This is the Black Hat Security Computer Security Conference, right? Everybody knows the Black Hat Conference is like DEF CON, a little bit different. The founder and director of Black Hat, Jeff Moss, said that a scheduled presentation by Chris Padgett, director of R&D with security consulting from IOActive, has been canceled. They're not going to show people this. They said Padgett made the decision Tuesday to pull his demo based on the potential legal action from HID Global, which makes RFID cards, readers, and reader-related technology. This is flash me back to Cisco Day days, Moss said, referring to a similar incident 2 years ago at a Black Hat conference when an ISS research analyst, Michael Lynn, gave a technical talk explaining how Cisco routers could be remotely compromised, resulting in legal action and his dismissal from ISS. Now, this is kind of interesting because it's like, there's no problems. If you point out problems, you're causing problems. No. People need to know this stuff so that we can keep the network integrity up. And when you go to these Black Hat news, like these Black Hat hacker conferences, people need to understand this. But of course, now corporations are talking about what you're okay to learn. This is like, I want to teach this. You can't teach this because it's of corporate security. Because of industrial espionage. So they will strong arm you, destroy your freedom of speech, destroy your right to talk about what you want to talk about. Can they fire him? Sure, they could fire him. They could fire him. Like, the buddy got dismissed there for talking because he was asked not to. He did. And so they just chose to dismiss him for that. I don't really have much of a problem with that. You know, because you do have to have, you know, industrial integrity and stuff like this. But threatening people with jail time and with lawsuits and with millions of dollars worth of losses just for talking about stuff, I don't know, man. This sets a rather dangerous precedent. And since they've done this twice in a row now, you can bet that people and the legal teams are going to be using this kind of approach to shut people up. Very, very, very interesting stuff. Very interesting stuff. Now, I found an interesting piece of cyberpunk kit called, which is actually from 2005, which is pretty amazing that I haven't come across this before. But it's some power armor, thanks to Melikan, and he sent it to me on a site that I'm now linked off of my live journal called Cyberpunk Review. Amazing website, very, very good, great feel to it. It's just like iGargoyle. Good, good guys. They got a good feed on things that are cyberpunk and very, very after now, very good feel to it. I like the site a lot. But on their site, I found this thing talking about the T-800 made by Cyberdyne. Yes. Yes, that's the name of the company, Cyberdyne. I'm not making this up. And they have the T-800 is, it's not a T-800. I'm sorry. It's a thing called HAL. Yeah, not the T-800. That's the large, exoskeleton robot that shoots people. HAL is the thing that lives aboard the ship that kills all the astronauts. Yeah, that's that one. It's named after that. But anyway, it's essentially power armor. And the article says, Japan, the epicenter of cyborgs in anime, is also the leader in robotics. Well, yeah. In the tech news of the Daily Thread, provides a gem from Cyberdyne, which, no, it's not Cyberdyne's missile T-800. Yoshinkai Sankai's hybrid assisted limb, or HAL, gives the beginning of a mecha-type suit that we often see in animes. The proto-mecha suit gives its wearer cyborg-like potential, including the ability to lift an extra 88 pounds or walk long distances without tirings, or at least until the battery runs out. The power system is pretty interesting on this, which is why I'd like to combine it with the link I have at the bottom of the page on End of Line for the MYT engine, and see if you can somehow make a generator for this bad boy. But all you have to do is watch this particular film clip, and you will see that we're about one step away from slapping armor and a gun on this thing, and we're good to go. we need to get the bear suit guy all hooked up with this dude and see what kind of a technical, you know, creation we can make, because this is just brutal. It's an amazing, amazing piece of tech, which nobody's talking about. This is what gives me hope for the future. This is what the astronauts should be looking at for heavy gravity planets. I mean, this is just fantastic stuff. You don't wear it, it responds to, like, your muscle twitching. Oh, it's brilliant. It's scalable. You can build larger mechs out of it. It's just brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And if you follow some of the other film clips that were on the thing for the telerobotic gun turret that was out there, a remote gun turret that we were following, there was a new autonomous vehicle created called the Crusher, which just rolls over everything in its path, and it's a fully autonomous robot. So when you start combining these things, we're looking at a pretty sci-fi world these days. Pretty neat stuff. Good time to be alive. And, of course, with all this technology and cyberpunk materials, you wouldn't be able to go too far without getting into Shadowrun news. Yes, we got some Shadowrun news that was sent to us by a terrorist. Best Buy, those good people at Best Buy, confirmed it has a secret website. Now, normally I don't slag on companies directly, but this was from March 2nd of 2007. And this is an interesting story. So, now normally, of course, none of the WOGs really shop at Best Buy. What they do is they go in there to buy key component parts. I bought something from, you know, that store a while ago. I've resigned myself that I'm going to learn how to touch type, by the way. Yeah, this is another thing that I'm doing, because I just don't do enough in my day-to-day life. Yes, I've decided that me and Mavis Beacon are going to step into the octagon to enter One Leaf. And so far, after an hour and 17 minutes, I have memorized the home row, the R, the T, the Y, and the U. And, yeah, and the little row in the middle there with the little colon thingies on it. I've managed to get that one down. So I've got to put about another 20 hours in, and apparently I'll be able to, you know, type, which will make me writing faster. It'll make me be able to, you know, write faster, because a lot of people don't know this. I can't touch type. I henpecked both books. I'm not lying to you. 265,000 words henpecked out. Took a lot of work. Now you know why it took me 5 years to write the second book. It's a little bit of a bitch. And I can't, you know, I'm never going to be able to pull my Arthur C. Clarke maneuver where I'm going to take off to a foreign country and operate, you know, the WOG command center from a remote tropical location like so many James Bond villains. I'm never going to be able to do that unless I learn to touch type. Now, this may sound like a pretty idiotic thing to talk about, but trust me, it's not. Touch typing is important. So if you don't know how to touch type, that's going to be something you're going to need to, you know, learn until you can get that attachment from the Ghost in the Shell movie where all your fingers turn into little tiny tendrils and you can fly to like a billion feet per second. But anyway, back to Best Buy, where it has a secret website. Under pressure from state investigators, Best Buy is now confirming my reporting that its stores have a secret intranet site that has been used to block some consumers from getting cheaper prices advertised on BestBuy.com. Interesting. Company spokesman Justin Barber, who early February denied the existence of the internal website that could be accessed only by employees, said his company is cooperating fully with the state attorney's general investigation. Barber insists the company never intended to mislead customers. Oh, no. The state attorney general, Richard Blumenthal, ordered an investigation into Best Buy's practices on February 9th after my column, the guy who wrote this column here, disclosed the website and showed how employees in two Connecticut stores used it to deny customers a $150 discount on a computer advertised on BestBuy.com. So it's like a typical loss leader sort of thing. You advertise in the papers that are out wandering around saying that, oh yeah, computers are this price, blah, 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 blah. And if they give it to you, that's great. But if they don't, you go there and they're like, oh, no, it's not there. And they're like, no, I saw it on a website. Take us to the website. So they, instead of going to the website, you go to another website, which you think is the internet, but it's really not. And lo and behold, it's not there. So you don't get the $150 off. Best Buy makes another $150. It's a pretty sweet scam. Blumenthal said Wednesday that Best Buy has also confirmed to his office the existence of the intranet site, but has so far failed to give clear answers about its purpose and use. Their response seemed to raise many questions as they answer, Blumenthal said in an interview. Their answers are less than crystal clear. Well, you can bet that right now, the tech heads down there at Best Buy are running around in little circles going, and they're trying to find ways to delete all of this, to change it all up, so they're buying time. But the point is that they were using technology to dupe and rip people off. And this is Best Buy. These are the guys who bought Future Shop, okay? So you want to look at that and go, yeah, the Corpolitical is using Shadowrun tactics. The Corpolitical is using Decker tactics in order to exploit people, not cool. Not cool at all. So you want to look at that and go, what, you know, be aware of this when you walk into these kind of stores. Be aware of what's going on around you so that you can be, well, aware of it. And you can prepare for it so that you don't wind up getting ripped off. Today's Daily Hack was sent in by Bucky Fuller. And this is something that I found really, really fascinating. Really, really fascinating. And before we get into it, it's about coil guns. A coil gun uses a solenoid to accelerate an object towards the intended target. The projectile is forced through the middle of a coil using magnetic force induced by an electrical current. In layman's terms, it's a rail gun is what it is. Now, rail guns have been regulated to the realms of science fiction novels for quite some time. But now, you can actually buy kits online to make rail guns. For now. It won't be long before these are made illegal, but you can buy and build a railgun. This is stuff, and you can do railgun experimentation. And this particular link doesn't just bring you to one railgun. It brings you to a whole jimmy whack of them that are available. And people are doing railgun research and things of this nature. Very, very interesting stuff. Extremely interesting stuff. So I'd like to know more about it. You know, I'd like to know more about what's going on with railgun technology, because I think that in the future, as, you know, disasters and terrorist attacks, which are really nothing more than convenient accidents that, you know, the military-industrial complex takes advantage of and uses that as a reason to exploit the masses and put them in camps, or as they did in Katrina, they hire private security personnel to wander around and take all your guns. Eventually, the guns are going to disappear because guns make things difficult for tyrants. You know, if the populace is running around with huge amounts of firearms, it makes things a little bit difficult. You know, people aren't so keen to get on the cattle cars and go to the camps if they happen to have an M14 lying around the house. You know, there's a lot of guys, especially with the Desert War, they're kind of creating their own problem because you're getting these guys. Well, let's get this straight here. This is what the military-industrial complex is doing. They're taking kids. They're sending them off to war to fight in the desert, right? They're fighting an unseen enemy they can't really combat against, okay, in an occupied territory where bombs are going off and snipers are shooting at them constantly. And this is what they do for, like, what, 6 months to a year? If they only do one tour, or they might spend a couple of years there because they wind up, you know, getting used to it, get institutionalized, get shell-shocked all to hell, and, you know, this is what they do. Then they come back to America where, you know, using a gun is like using a hammer or passing the salt now. And then they're going to start taking away these guys' families and putting them in camps. They're going to start, you know, in Hurricane Katrina, there was lots and lots of ex-servicemen who picked up rifles and just took over their community. They went, yeah, we're just going to run security for ourselves. You know, I know Bob. I know Ray down the street. We're going to stop looters. We're going to stop, you know, all these people from coming into our neighborhoods and, you know, raping our families and stuff like this. Because there was packs of gangs of these, you know, bad guys running around trying to capitalize on the lack of law. Well, you know, if this kind of stuff happens on a large scale, if there was like a major bomb blast in some city, you can bet there's going to be an awful lot of guys who came back from Iraq and from the desert wars who are going to be like, no, dude, we're not going to go gently into that good night. There's going to be a lot of guys who you've already trained in how to fight and how to use weapons who these private security personnel are going to deal with. And bottom line, you wind up with Americans killing Americans. Or, you know, and people are dying. People are going to die. And this is not cool. Not cool. So the way they're going to get around that, of course, is they're going to take away everybody's guns. That's the plan. Which is kind of just kind of unconstitutional. Kind of goes against what the Founding Fathers were all about in this country. That's why the right to keep and bear arms, you know, the Second Amendment takes care of the First, that whole thing. But we'd like to avoid it getting to the point where people actually have to lock and load. And that's one of the reasons why I do this show. And that's all I got for you this week. But don't worry, I'll be back next week to make sure you get all the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. And a special shout out to everybody, and including my buddy in Britain, who, again, is just doing insane stuff. Thank you so much for all your donations, guys. You guys are awesome. If you would like to donate, you can. If you want to subscribe, that's really great, you know. But it's difficult, you know, because when all that cash that gets donated helps me directly, you know what I mean? And so I kind of feel bad asking for it at the end of every show, but you kind of have to. And this is something that I morally struggle with because I don't like exploiting people. This is something, and God, I hope you don't think I do. You know, and this is, it keeps me awake at night, honestly, where I worry that people are concerned I'm exploiting them. And I've talked about this ad nauseum with Sim. And he know like he I've got his touch on his part. He's just no, 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 no. We're providing him, blah, 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 blah. So it works out. But for those of you who do donate, thank you so much. And if you cannot donate, distribute, as previously mentioned, with Fat Ninja and the Rabbit. So you got to, that sounded kind of damning, didn't it, Fat Ninja? But anyway, if you can't donate, distribute. But you can donate, you can either go to the Rant Media site, click on the Donate tab, top right, hot link, and or send an envelope that is carefully contained to Rant Media Studios, Box 18121, 1215C, 56th Street, Delta BC, Canada, B4M2M4. And I have one digital baptism this week. Dietrich is now known as Khan1. That's K-A-H-N-1. So, Dietrich, you're now Khan1. As in DEFCON 1, but I was going to actually call you DEFCON, as in D-A-F, but I thought, nah, that's a little bit too hokey. So we're going to go with Khan, K-A-H-N-1, like Captain Kirk. Khan! That's the deal. And I want to thank the Army of Flying Monkeys and their assistance for gathering data. And for supporting the show. If you have information that you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel, N-E-W-S-R-E-E-L, at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, you want to check out the Nauseous Youth Future album that got sent to me. Well, not the one that got sent to me. You'll have to find your own. It's on Broken Fader Cartel. All one word, brokenfadercartel.com. And it's a pretty decent little album. If you like the music in the background, check it out. I'm going to leave you with one of the tracks from that song right now. And remember, everyone, the whole point of this program, the whole point of the broadcast, the whole point of Rant Radio is to bring people together, not draw them apart or separate them into little cliques and communities. That's why, you know, we're not doing, you know, caste systems or gangs or clubs or anything like that anymore. Now everything is just WOG. And there are many things that are WOG. And it is the strength of resisting evil that would define one as WOG, however you wish to define resisting evil. And then, of course, that brings us to the other question of what is evil, blah, 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 blah. For those of you that get it, thank you very much. Please explain it to those of you that don't. And we have to work together within a period of a time that we've been given now before whatever the hell is going to be coming down the pipe. Because things are going to get heavy again. Or you think it's heavy now, it's going to get even heavier in the future. And the book I'm writing now is going to even reflect that because I'm following trends now. And if you thought after now is brutal, wait for the next one. Wait for the next one. Not Scabbed. Scabbed Wings of Abaddon, that's still coming out. But it'll be out, should be April. They're saying April. I'll be, you know, ranting and raving about it. So everyone who wants to buy a copy probably should. But, you know, the new book that's coming out should be out within 12 months or so, which I haven't written yet, so I shouldn't even say that. But the goal is, this is why the touch typing thing, you're with me. You're with me. Okay. But we're gonna need to get some unity going on. We're going to need to get some comms going on. We're going to need to get people getting along with each other and helping each other. And we're not going to ever be able to defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. So stop being so, what's the term? I want to say decisive, but divisive? That's not even divisive. Stop breaking up into your little sects. Stop fighting amongst yourselves. Don't turn this into an IRC bitch fest in meat space, okay? We have to get along. We have to forgive each other. We have to move forwards towards our goals. Even if we don't work directly with each other and exploit each other for them, we have to rely on directional chaos in which to motivate the whole towards our goal and destination. So until next time, everybody, that's what Server said. End of line.